good singing, good playing, good singing. This I know with all my heart. His wounds has paid my ransom. What a song. What a line. Think about that. What a line. Can't boast on anything but Christ. But Christ. I love it. It's great. All right.
I just want to say, I know I say it a lot, but God's been good. Just thank him for all he's done. You know, I listened to Brother Bud pray this morning. Brother hearing him pray.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when that long ago, Brother Bud couldn't even talk.
Right. Yeah. Didn't know he was going to make it even.
So just how good God's been.
Yes. Amen.
We don't give him enough glory and honor for how good he's been. Our church, I could name thousands. He's been good to us.
Yeah.
I think of Raymond at least. Brother Garth and his wife.
Yeah.
Brother Steve and Pat.
Over and over.
Miss Donna back there. How good he's been.
Yeah.
How faithful he's been to us. David Sidney Chuck, that boy.
Yeah.
His mercy's just new every day. He's been a blessing. I love him tonight.
Just yes, sir.
I want to thank him for what he's done. Now, I was thinking about Miss Dot. I think one time we came to church and Miss Dot, she had two black eyes. And I said, what in the world happened to you? And she said, well, she lived in Terre Estates and we lived there too. We had a bunch of bears in the neighborhood. So Miss Dot went out with a cup of coffee and she didn't know Don had shut the door on her. She got out there and she looked around. There stood a black bear. She ran to the door, but the door was shut. Yeah. Ran right into the door.
Right.
Blacked her eyes. I just think how faithful she had been all these years. How God has blessed. He's blessed our church in so many ways. You think of camp and every year it's just His faithfulness.
Yeah.
His goodness. His mercy.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. He's being to us. Just thanking tonight.
God bless you.
Miss Dot's memorial service will be the 24th or 25th of July.
Saturday, 11 o'clock on the 25th. And we will serve a meal. We'll have more information on that. That'll be Saturday week. So let's be praying about that as well. All right. Busy, busy week. Really think about it. I want you to mark some things even in your Bible. You might want to anyway. Some things we need to highlight that we can go back and review ourselves. All right. Now we've been doing a home inspection of a morning on Sunday mornings, and then maybe we'll do a church inspection tonight. So let's look and see what the Lord has for us. Everybody okay? Let's pray together. Father, we come, and Lord, understanding full well I'm nothing, but you are great. Lord, I love to hear about people being saved. Don't care where it's at, who it is. It's good news. It's wonderful news. People taught the gospel. Thank you that there's still gospel being taught and preached. It's not hid. It's up front where we can see it. And you didn't, that been said this morning, you didn't die in a corner. And you died for all to see. Thank you so much. We love you. Need you tonight. Our church needs you. We, as a people who makes up this congregation, need you tonight. And, oh, God, speak to us. Let us examine ourselves, only us. Lord, shame on us if we examine anybody else.
Yeah.
Oh, God, shame on us if we examine anybody else. Help us to examine ourselves, I pray. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. It says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Man, there's a lot in that verse, are they not? the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Ain't you glad you're part of the living God tonight? The living God. We got a living God. The pillar and ground of the truth. I want to remind you tonight that we are part of the church. We are not the church. We're part of the church. That we are a congregation of the church. We're a congregation of believers in this place. And we're a part of one body who has one Savior. There is one head, that's Christ. One Savior, that's Christ. One boss, that's Christ. One example, that's Christ. One bride for Christ. One body in Him. Him and us. We in Him. And that's what we are tonight. But we are a local congregation. We are a local church. We are a congregation of baptized believers. We're a congregation of believing believers. All right? Now, I'm sure there's goats. I'm sure there's some goats within the membership of the church. There's hundreds of people that's members of the church, the members of this congregation. And I'm sure if we get it all narrowed out someday, it's not for me to pull the tares up. That's for the Lord to pull the tares up. It's not me. The reapers will pull the tares. But I'm sure there's some goats among us. I hope there ain't none here tonight, but they might be. I don't know your heart. Well, we can see a goat has to be manipulated and motivated. A sheep will just follow. You decide whether or not you're a sheep or a goat. Huh? Anybody understand that? It's simple. Our theme thought is, what kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? Let's sit together, can we? What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? Now, that's a good thought tonight. In every thought, if everybody thought like you, if everybody loved like you, if everybody acted like you, if everybody reacted like you, if everybody worshiped like you, if everybody praised like you, if everybody gossiped like you, if everybody had envy like you, if everybody had contention like you, if everybody had malice like you, if everybody had forgiveness like you, if everybody had a temper like you, if everybody had a mouth like yours, what kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? Huh? Think about that. If everybody, now, the shame of it is, the Bible says that we all ought to speak the same thing. The Bible says that there should not be no divisions in the body, that we all might be of one mind and speak the same thing. So what if we do just like you? What if we do just like you? What if our compassion is just like yours? What if our care is just like yours? What if our faithfulness is just like yours? What if our respect is just like yours? Just exactly. What kind of church would we have? Let's say it one more time and we'll preach a minute. What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? Now, there's a lot of meat in that right there. There is. If we'll just examine ourselves. Now, if I examine me, then I ain't got time to examine you. Now, when we think about the church and everything that's written about the church, the commission of the church, we know full well, was to go. The commission of the church was going to all the world, preach the gospel, teaching everyone, baptizing them, and getting them the gospel, getting people saved. That was the commission of the church. But it didn't take long, huh? It didn't take but just very few years that the Lord didn't tell them to keep it going. He said, y'all need to come back because you're wrong. He said, you need to go back and repent because you've done change from what I told you to do, and you need to come back and do your first works again. That's what the scripture said. And we can find his letter to the churches in the book of Revelation. And we'll find seven churches there. And them seven churches are not just the churches in Asia Minor, but they was literal churches, but they're churches that is typified or exampled today. And every congregation that is part of the body of Christ examples themselves from one of these churches. Now, it's mainly of the five. There are seven churches and very few churches, we probably could go with just a few people in church, in the congregations that are like Smyrna and Philadelphia. Probably it'll just be one or two people, if that many, in the congregation. Some may not have any. In fact, I know some don't have any. All right. You say that's a broad statement, but I think we pretty well can hit that. Persecution and tribulation and poverty and poor. Nothing that going on at all, but that are wholly sold out to God, 100%. So there's a few probably scattered about. But the five churches in Revelation pretty well exemplifies or as an example of every church today. I believe that would be a good rule to look at, all right? But what we fail to remember, that every congregation, even though there is one body, even though there is one bride, even though there is one head, one body of every believer, that this body is made up of individuals. And not only is local congregations an example that is listed in five churches, but us, we can be shown to be the same as these churches are. See, the church is never no different than what the people are. The congregation is no more different than the people that make it up. See, the people that don't go here don't affect this congregation. The people that don't go here does not make up this congregation. So it ain't run by them. It's only us. So if every congregation has an example in these five churches, then I believe probably that every Christian in it is an example of one of these churches. So let's look real quick tonight, and we'll not tarry long. We're going to go back later on probably and preach each church of the Revelation by itself. But I just want us to think about some things about this local congregation. And again, I ask the question, what kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? Just exactly. Now, if it's good, wonderful. But if it's bad, it'd be the same. It's going to be exactly like you. All right, we say, well, they got good points. Yeah, we got good points. If nothing else, sometimes we just smell good. But that's okay. It's a whole lot better to smell good than smell bad. Right? So, but seriously, what kind of church would we be? So let's look at it tonight. Let's start at the church of Ephesus. Can we do that? Revelation chapter 2. And we're not going to read everything about the church. We're just going to read some highlights. All right, and just try to get the gist of the meaning so we can maybe jog our minds a little bit and let the Holy Ghost speak to our heart. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1 will tell us, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. So we're writing to the church of Ephesus. Verse 2 says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hath borne and hath patience, and for my sake, namesake, hast labored and hast not fainted. You know, that is some good things. Ain't they good things? I would to God that all of us was just exactly like that the trait of Ephesus is what we all have. Huh? Now think about that. Believe right. You know, wouldn't that be good? Watch out for false doctrine. Wouldn't that be good? Okay. They contended for the faith. I mean, they was there, boy, doing it exactly right. Wouldn't that be great? Talk to me. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anybody like it. Don't raise your hand if you think you're like it. But wouldn't it be great if we was all like that?
Yeah.
Think about that. I know. And see, here's the thing. He knows.
Yeah.
He said, I know.
Yeah.
I know thy works. I know. He knows what we are.
Right.
All right? And but it was a working church. Strong church. In fact, if Ephesus was a church today, they would probably never schedule a revival. Because they wouldn't need it. They would think everything was just exactly right. I mean, they had what would they need to be revived from? Look at it. They labored. They had patience. They couldn't bear them that was wrong. Right? They even put some on trial. To make sure they was wrong. Right? And it says they had patience twice. Listen, if somebody tells you got patience and they double up and say you got double patience, man, that ain't that a wonderful thing? Wouldn't that be good for us to have double patience?
Yeah.
Huh? Think about that. Has patience and for the Lord's sake labor. I mean laboring for the Lord's sake.
Yeah.
Now what is wrong with that? Ain't nothing wrong with that, are they? But it was a strong church, but it was out of love. Run plumb out of love. Verse 4 says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Walked off from love. I wonder how many that make up the church have walked away from love. That he's no longer number one in our heart and our mind. That we don't love him like we did when we got off our knees clean and forgiven. That we don't love him like that. I wonder, have we left our first love? I wonder what kind of church would we be if we was all like Ephesus. How about we drop down, and we're not going to look at Smyrna in verse 8. How about we drop down to verse 12? Everybody still with me? Now, there's some great things here about Pergamos. Some great things here. Let's read just a little bit. It said, and to the angel of the church of Pergamos. Huh? So there's a church just like this. Look at verse 13. I know thy work. Again, he knows. He knows if we're like Ephesus, and he knows if we're like Pergamos. Yeah. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
I know. And he knows where we're at. He don't just know what we're doing, he knows where we're at. He said, I know thy works and where thou dwellest. Now, think about that now. Even where Satan's seat is. Now the church of Pergamos, the church at Ephesus was a strong church, and the church of Pergamos was in a hard place. It even said it was where Satan's seat is. That's pretty rough when your church is right there where Satan's sitting. That's a pretty tough place, ain't it?
Yeah.
Now it's one thing for the church to be planted there. It's one thing for the church to be planted where Satan's seat is to be a light, but it's another thing for the congregation to be a sitting there.
Right.
We okay?
Yeah.
Are we sitting there where Pergamos was a sitting? Because he said, I know where thou dwellest. We still okay? See, the church of Ephesus was a working church. Well, Pergamos was a working church. Huh? They held fast the name of Jesus. It says here, it says that thou holdest fast my name. Verse 13, is that where we're at?
Yes.
Thou holdest fast my name. So they hold up the name of Jesus. They're not crazy. They hold up the name of Jesus. Right? Everybody understand that? They're not denying the faith. Huh? They're not doing that. He says, thou hast not denied my faith. even those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Remember, they're in a hard place. But he says, I got a few things against you. Verse 14. And the problem with the church of Pergamos, not only not just a strong church like Ephesus and a hard place like Pergamos, but now this church done something that shouldn't do. It started sharing and accepting false doctrine. I wonder how many of us will accept false doctrine. We'll not do it ourselves, but we'll accept it. Huh? Are you understanding what I'm saying? We don't believe it ourselves, but we'll accept it. Now I know that's wrong, but I know you shouldn't, but well, I wouldn't do that, but that's what Pergamos was. They accepted false doctrine. They accepted the doctrine of Balaam. Balaam wanted to share with the idols. Did he not? He was one of them guys that wanted to argue from half the scripture. You ever accept the guys that want to argue from half the scripture, not what the whole scripture says? Are you following me tonight? Talk to me if you're following me. Don't believe the whole thing. They'll believe part of a verse. Just take part of it. And you say, well, that ain't me. That's the preacher's job. No, this is the church's job. And this is the people that make up the church's job. And the Lord is not happy with the people that make up a congregation as part of the body that go ahead and accepts false doctrine. Balaamism was false doctrine. The doctrine of Balaam. Can I tell you that the doctrine of Balaam was not just in Numbers, but it's mentioned throughout the scripture? The way of Balaam, the error of Balaam, the doctrine of Balaam, more than one place. Must have been pretty serious. Because it was named through the New Testament, not just the Old Testament. It was named through the New Testament. Why? Because there's not but one doctrine. And that doctrine is the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of the Word of God, the faith. But Balaam didn't do it. He sold out. He sold out and accepted false doctrine. He said he accepted false doctrine for pleasure. He accepted false doctrine for money. He accepted false doctrine to... He wanted the best of both worlds. That's what Balaam did. I wonder, is there anybody like that in this congregation that won't stand against the devil? Listen, I believe in Jesus. I hold fast the name of Jesus. I'm not going to deny the faith. But now, preacher, you can't be so mean about everybody over here now. But yet does not Paul say when he wrote to the church of Galatia and says, if there be any other, if anybody preaches any other gospel, let him be accursed. That's what the scripture says. It didn't say to ignore him. It said, let him be accursed. It didn't say don't go to church where that says, let him be accursed if they preach any other gospel. Now, we're not talking about methods. We're talking about the scripture. We're talking about the gospel tonight. We're talking about the church of Pergamos. Yeah. Be considered a worldly church, maybe. I don't know. We got to be careful. Is that not what it says? Verse 14. Can we read it? Is we okay tonight? See, we're examining the church, but we're examining us. See, sometimes you may not say a word, but that's how you believe. You may vote a certain way, but that ain't how you believe. You may go along with right, but you really believe wrong. Because you don't want to going to be easier. Huh? Does everybody understand me? Verse 14 said, but I have a few things against thee because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. How about the church of Thyatira? How about, drop down to verse 18, are we okay? We got a strong church, a church in a hard place. Strong church is good, right? Church in a hard place needs a little bit of sympathy, don't it? Church in a hard place, church next door to Satan's seat, right there beside his seat, ought to have a little bit of lean. We ought to be a little bit pitiful toward him, shouldn't we? Huh? Ain't that what we got to be careful. We don't want to hurt nobody's feelings there. Well, you know where they're at. They're right down there next door to Satan's seat. Right? Can I tell you that right is right, regardless of whether they're in a hard place or an easy place? Can I tell you that right's right, whether the majority likes it or the majority don't like it? Do you know that right's right, regardless of who it is, whether it's male or female? That right's right? Do you know that right's right, regardless of what denomination is above the Lord, that right is right? And wrong is wrong. And you don't have to be mean. But there's some things that can't be accepted. I'm still having problems with the congregation of people that invite Islam to come in to discuss the scripture. And there is no discussion of scripture with Islam. Whether it's in Braxton County or whether it's in New York City or California, there is nothing there. There is no similarities between Islam and Christianity. Huh? And if there's ever, and people say I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it and hope it gets back and people understand it, that would be a church of Pergamos that has went to false doctrine and gas away. Huh? Let it be accursed. What the scripture said. How about the church of Thyatira? It's a growing church. You ever notice that in scripture? It's a growing church. Well, why would a growing church have problems? Why would people willing to grow in the Lord and grow in grace and knowledge have issues? Verse 18 says, and to the angel of the church of Thyatira. Look at verse 19. What's it say? I know thy works. He knows it all, don't he? He knows about Ephesus. Huh? He knows about Smyrna. He knows about Pergamos. He knows about Thyatira. He knows about Mark D. Sechrist. Huh? He said, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and patience and works. And look, and the last to be more than the first. That means what they started doing, they're doing it better now than what they was doing when they started. So they was a growing church. Ain't that what we're supposed to do? Ain't we supposed to do better now than what we done when we started? That's what we're all supposed to be doing, ain't it? So them are great things. You know what we'll do? We'll take these great things and look over the bad things and say, well, that's okay because we're just human. But that ain't what the scriptures tells us. Because verse 20 says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. See, the church of Thyatira, as Pergamos was a worldly church, if you want to say it like it, or Pergamos, a worldly church, and Thyatira together was them get along churches. Now, not get along with little doggy, but get along with everybody. All right? Are we still okay? Growing church, serving church, faithful church, huh? But there was a woman in it named Jezebel. That's what it says, eh? Thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. Look what she called herself. She called herself a prophetess. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that there ain't no such a thing as a woman preacher. And I'm going to go ahead and make another statement, and I'm not wanting to hurt nobody's feelings, but I'm going to tell you this very clearly. Very clearly. You can't live in the Spirit of God in one place and be against God in another.
Right.
And you call yourself a prophetess, you're a false prophetess.
Right.
And it's not of God. It's not of God. And women preaching is against the Bible.
Amen.
Don't care who it is. Is everybody listening to me? Now, you can't set yourself up against the Scripture and be for the Scripture. Let me say that again. You can't set yourself up to be for the Scripture and be against the Scripture. You can't set yourself up to be led of the Spirit and be against the Spirit of God. You can't set yourself up to believe the truth and teach a lie. Everybody understand that? No matter who it is. It says, thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. It's okay. They're sincere. It's okay. Thou sufferest. The church suffers. People suffer. Hey, you better get off that bandwagon and get back on the Bible and get back what the Bible teaches.
Right.
Everybody hearing me?
Yeah.
They say, well, I don't believe that. Then you're the church of Thyatira.
Yeah.
It's exactly what I'm preaching tonight. And the Lord's got something against you. If you believe like the people at Thyatira, the Lord's got something against you. If you believe like the people of Pergamos, the Lord's got something against you. If you left the first love of your heart, the Lord's got something against you. That's what it says. Huh? They teach others the wrong way. It says to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication. Now, That's not necessarily just sex outside of marriage. It's fornication. Read your scripture about the adulterers and adulteresses in James. We're talking about adultery, spiritual adultery. How come Paul wrote to the church of Corinth and said, I've espoused you to one wife? He's talking about the one Savior, the one gospel, the one faith, the truth. And James talks about wisdom and those who commit adultery, adulterers and adulteresses. It's what's going against the truth. It's not just somebody doing sex things here. It's about the Scripture and against the Bible.
Right.
Huh? Everybody understand? And that's what we're talking about here. To teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Huh? But it was a growing church. Now, I didn't say she was a prophetess. Everybody see that? If she was a prophetess, that means God done it. But it says here in verse 20, that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself one. And you say, well, that probably ain't a woman. That's probably just a teaching. Well, it says woman. Just like the two women that had problems in Philippians chapter 4, Paul wrote a letter to the church of Philippi and made sure that everybody would read it for eternity, that Herodias and Cynthia had a problem. And then he wrote about Alexander and Hymenaeus that had a problem. And he made sure that everybody knew that Alexander the coppersmith, for thousands of years, that he caused Paul trouble. So yeah, I believe it's a name. I don't believe it's a time. I believe it's a church that had a woman calling herself a preacher, and the people wouldn't say nothing about it. Teach others. Now the reason I'm saying that is because we're in the day of podcasts and all these things, and we'll listen to stuff that we wouldn't listen to in the church house. And we'll go along with things on the computer and on the internet and on podcasts that we wouldn't go along with in the church house. You know why we go ahead and listen to that down? Because that's what we believe. And we'll try to pick the bones out and throw them away and eat the meat. And they ain't no bones in a lie. It's all bones. Ain't no meat in a lie. It's all bones. I would have thought there would be more support here. I was just thinking, I was maybe thinking wrong. But I would think there'd be more support in a Baptist church teaching again women preachers. I thought there'd be more support in a Bible church teaching again women preachers. But maybe I was mistaken. I thought there'd be more support teaching truth. I ain't said nothing that's been wrong. It ain't been popular, but it ain't wrong. Okay? I'm just having trouble putting my gears in reverse, church. I'm having trouble backing up. I ain't no backup in me. I'm having problems here. My reverse gear's gone. All I know is forward. I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to back up on this book and everybody say everything's okay. Everything ain't okay. And that's why the spirit of the church is down, as because of things we listen to and things we partake of that's ungodly and God ain't in it. Right. Well, they're sincerely wrong. I know. Be careful of emotions and spirituality. Some things that stir our emotions is not of God. Some things that make my heart beat is I didn't take my metoprolol. That's how come my heart's beating fast. Ain't got nothing to do with the atmosphere I'm in. Everybody understand? I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm trying to get to see the shape of the church today. This is a church age. This is now. This ain't just what's going to come. These are examples of the church now. Okay? I'm about done. That's three of them, ain't it? Let's hurry. Y'all, I'm afraid I'm going to lose you. Huh? Don't go up a myth tree now. All right? Let's look here in chapter 3. It says, unto the angel of the church of Sardis, or the church in Sardis. To the angel of the church in Sardis. Down there in the middle it says, I know. There he knows again. Ain't it amazing what he knows? He knows. You know what he knows? You know, he don't even say much about this church. You know why? Because he said, you're dead. He don't get it, no big long explanation. He just says this, I know thy works, that thou hast the name that thou livest and art dead. Dead. No commendation. Said, bear strength, and if there's anything that remains, bear strength in that, but you're dead. You're dead. You're dead. I wonder how many Christians are an Ephesus Christian. I wonder how many tonight are a Pergamos Christian. I wonder how many a Thyatira Christian. Huh? I wonder how many is a Sardis Christian. I wonder how many just dead. Just dead. Huh? Just dead as a church. No praise. Church don't give given no praise. You know, the other church said, you know, I know thy works, thy charity, thy service, thy faith. I know the good thing. But he didn't have nothing good to say about Sardis. Huh? Just an organization. Now, they was a working church, undoubtedly. Because they was existing. Huh? Now he said there's a few names in Sardis. He didn't say there's a few names that ain't defiled their garments. In verse 4. They walk with me in white because they're worthy. There's a few of them. But as far as the church as a whole goes, nah, it's dead. It's dead. I wonder tonight, are we dead Christians? Are we dead-headed Christians? Huh? How lively are you? It's like, you know, they prayed, but they didn't get through. They worshiped, but it was in name only. They sang, but it was just singing. Are you hearing me? They gave, but it was out of obligation. They had a form, but no force. How about that? How about at church, and Paul wrote to Timothy about having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, But nobody making it mean anything. Did you ever know anybody that went through the motions? Did you ever know anybody went to church and just went through the motions? Did you ever say, you know, I didn't want to be there, I just went through the motions? You ever say it about yourself? You ever say it about somebody? Did you ever see anybody perform instead of praise? Sometimes performance is enough for a church. They see you perform. You know, some people want to watch a performance. They're not interested in the Spirit of God as long as it's a performance. Good show. That was good. Did you ever leave church? That was good. Well, what was good about it? What was better than any other time? Did you worship? What was good about it? Man, that was good. Well, did you praise the Lord yourself? Did you worship? Did you get closer to God? Did it change you? Was you a better servant? Was you a better soul winner? Would you decide to pray more, study more? How did it move you? Or, man, that's a good show, man. That was good. Y'all done good. You ever leave church and say, man, they done good? Have you? Talk to me. You're dead. You're dead. We're looking at the wrong thing tonight. You still okay? Now let's flip on over. Verse 14. Then we got the church of Laodiceans. That church, lukewarm church. That church is a sickening church. Now, it says, you know, all the churches were working churches. Because he said, I know thy works. So they were all working churches, right? And here in verse 14, or verse 15, he says, I know thy works. But look at what he says. You're neither cold nor hot. Think about it. You ain't neither. How would you be one or the other? At least we could tell. But you ain't either. But because you're lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now that's bad, is it not? Would y'all anybody here agree with me that that's bad? But you know that's not the bad part. Do you know that's the commendation? Do you know that the commendation is that they're lukewarm? Because that's the best they're going to get out of it. That's the best he's going to say is you're lukewarm. You're not cold, but you're not hot. And a lot of people are satisfied with not on par, but not plumb gone. But here's what the sad part is, verse 17. Because thou sayest. And the middle part of the verse says, and knowest not that thou art. The saddest part about the church of Laodicea is they say they're one thing, but they're really another. They believe they're one thing and really another. That's the saddest thing. It says, because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I don't need nothing. I'm okay. Did you ever come to church and after the preaching and invitation that you didn't need nothing? Do you ever read the Word of God and it don't move you because you don't need nothing? You ever hear the Word of God taught, but it don't change you because you don't need nothing? I'd like to be like that I didn't need nothing. I may not do nothing with it, but I don't know that I've ever thought I didn't need something. Maybe I have. Maybe that's why I don't change. Are you seeing what I'm trying to bring to our attention tonight? And see, these ain't just congregations. These are the people in them. And I believe there's people like this in every congregation. There's people like Ephesus, and there's people like Pergamos, and there's people like Thyatira, and there's people like Sardis, and there's people like Laodicea. Let's look on. They're poor. He said that they're blind, so they don't have no vision. Have any of us lost our vision? Have any of us lost our vision? We used to have a vision. Have we lost our vision? Back of our bulletins, the back of our bulletin, if you got your bulletin, look on the back page. Look on the back page of our bulletin. There in little letters, you can't hardly see it. Right there in that light red, that light maroon, in that writing there in the quotation, this is still our vision. I wonder if we've lost our vision. I'm just asking. I don't know what we've lost. We got rags. It said, thou knowest that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The clothes we got on, well, they wasn't running around plumb naked. They had, you know, Laodicea was a clothing city. Did you know that? The Laodicea manufactured clothing, and he told them they're naked. Now you think they was there naked without no clothes on. No, they wasn't just clothed in the right stuff. They prospered on clothing. They wasn't going to church naked. But they were with rags of self-righteousness. It was too cold to boil and too warm to freeze. What the what? Too cold to boil. We're too warm to freeze, just lukewarm. Well, that's the churches. I'm going to quit. Whole message is in verse 20. Now I'm going to give you the message. All right? Now we'll preach the message. Looks like verse 20 should say, behold we. Behold the church. But see, this ain't a sinner's verse. Because Christ is speaking to the churches. And we've used that as what we would consider net verses and bringing somebody to Christ. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I will come to him and sup with him, he with me, to win somebody to Christ. Well, that's good. Sounds good, but it ain't scriptural. Because this is to the church. And it's asking if there be anybody in it. If there be anybody in the church, he said, I'm standing at the door and knocking, and if there be anybody in it, then hear my voice. If they'd open the door, I'd come in and sup with them. I'd come in and change him to be what they need to be in my body. That's what that means right there. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. When he went to the wedding feast at Cana, he was the guest until they needed wine. And when he presented the wine, he became the host. Did he not? When he was on the road to Emmaus, he was the guest till they invited him into the house. And everything was fine till he broke bread. And when he broke bread, he became the host. He wasn't a guest no more. And if we'd invite him back into our heart and our life, we wouldn't be inviting him when he come in. He'd be the host and we'd be doing what he said. You understand that? Think about that. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him. And then look, and he with me. So it's not just a body thing. It's an individual thing that makes up the body. It's an individual thing that makes up the body. Huh? Are you an Ephesus Christian? Are you a Pergamos Christian? Are you a Thyatira Christian? Are you a Sardis Christian? Are you a Laodicean Christian? If any man will just open the door, I'm a knocking, wanting, where's he at? He's on the outside of the church. Oh, Lord, help us if he's on the outside of the church wanting back in where he belongs. Huh? Is that not what it is? Father, help us tonight. We sure do need help. We love you. I'm sure it ain't like I ought to, but I love you. And I don't do these things right myself. God, forgive me and help me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. See you Wednesday.